Well, those of you who don't know, we're actually in the midst of a series based in the Gospel of Matthew. So I guess you could call me the commercial break, a bit of light relief, maybe. Well, almost 30 years ago, I went to Rimini with my dear friend Fiona, and we were booked into a hotel, full board, and it felt like we were fed pasta for breakfast, lunch, and tea. And so when no one was looking, we sneaked off before lunch and went on the beach to buy an ice cream instead. It was a glorious break and a guilty pleasure. I'm not sure my talk is quite the ice cream, but you get the gist. Each item of food is valid in the context of an overall healthy diet. So I hope you can digest what I have to say easily, and it does you good. So what I want to share with you today will hopefully encourage you, inspire you, and remind you that one, you're not on your own, and two, you can and will complete your faith journey and end it well. I've called this talk Pressing On. It's about perseverance, not giving up, even when every fibre of your being feels like it. To persevere is to continue in a course of action when even in the face of difficulty or with little or no indication of success. I think Oswald Chambers puts perseverance into perspective, and he says this: perseverance is more than endurance. It is endurance combined with absolute assurance and certainty that what we are looking for is going to happen. Perseverance means more than just hanging on, which may only be exposing our fear of letting go and falling. Perseverance is our supreme effort of refusing to believe that our hero is going to be conquered. The hero, of course, here is Jesus. I personally think that to press on and persevere is really important and key in these days that we're in. Last week, I had the privilege of leading a workshop for refugees from Afghanistan and Syria. I had 12 in all. I had 5 men and 7 women. They couldn't speak English, so I had to use gestures and demonstrate by doing. We designed and created these paper shoes for an installation that's going into the local library. And I've called it Paths We Travel. And I felt in a way it was a prophetic statement. And so I'm going to share it today because this might resonate and it fits in with what I'm trying to say. Shoes are symbolic of travel, the paths we take, the journeys we go on, and the dreams and hardships we carry. Each shoe tells a different story. Each shoe has travelled on different terrain, but each is important. Each paper shoe displayed is individually decorated and carries the trace of the person who made it. Shoes we wear outgrow, mislay, discard. We cherish them for seasons, and then we need to put them away. They embody our past, our present, and our future. But as this installation shows, whilst our past may be different, we can walk together, offering support and friendship along the way. So we're all on a journey. It's easy to start a journey, isn't it? And perhaps easy to end, but it's often the middle bit, the in-between, when the novelty is worn off, when monotony creeps in, and we're tired. That's the toughest part. But I can say right at the start here, the same God who saw you in your mother's womb sees you now, knows what you need, and will get you to where you need to be if you let him. He's the God of the middle as well as the start and the finish. But sometimes we need pressing on, don't we? We need help in that pressing on. Well, some are new to the Christian faith. Others have been seeking to follow the footsteps of Jesus for years. So whether we're at the beginning, in the middle or approaching the latter part of our spiritual route, we're all heading for the same destination, and our focus should be the same, or should I say, on the same person, Jesus. However, as we know, there are challenges on that journey. We get injuries, we get stitches, there's trials, there's pain, we lack energy. And when Jesus called the disciples, they left everything physically, but I'm sure there were spiritual and emotional things that he had to deal with along the way. We are all holding our own map. They're individual. It's an individual map to us. Now, my personal map I'm following at the moment is not the one that I ever expected to follow. Mine is about growing in the prophetic, the academic, and allowing what I'm learning to come out in the creative so that it hopefully encourages others. Do you know there are times when the map you're following is not going to be understood by others? Well-meaning friends and family members may not understand your map because they haven't really grasped what you're doing or why you're doing it. And can I say, you may not either. I certainly don't know where I'm going and in a way why I'm doing it. But I know that I know that I know that this is my map for now. Gandhi said this, "I will not let anyone walk through my mind with their dirty feet." Can I encourage you, don't let anyone else walk their dirty footprints over your map. It's your map. You know, pioneers don't have anyone to follow apart from the voice of God or their own convictions. And it's hard. You know, look at Noah. If he'd had listened to well-meaning friends and families who also, like him, had never seen rain, he would never have built the ark. If modern-day pioneer Jackie Pullinger, who graduated with a music degree, had listened to the fears and concerns of her friends, maybe she wouldn't have left England at the age of 22 to work with drug addicts, prostitutes, and gangs in Hong Kong. She's helped save many lives. So what is your map? Now, can I suggest that MAP stands for this? Marking out where we've come from. A for activating an adventurous spirit. And P, purposefully and prophetically moving forward. The Apostle Paul in Philippians 4 urges the church to be cheerful with joyous celebration and not be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. He also tells them it is the strength of Christ's explosive power that infuses him to conquer every difficulty. Earlier in Philippians 3, verse 12 to 16, he states this. This comes from the Passion Translation. I admit that I haven't yet acquired the absolute fullness that I'm pursuing, but I run with passion into his abundance so that I may reach the purpose for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me to make me his own. I don't depend on my own strength to accomplish this. However, I do have one compelling focus. I forget all of the past as I fasten my heart to the future instead. I run straight for the divine invitation of reaching the heavenly goal and gaining the victory prize through the anointing of Jesus. So let all who are fully mature have this same passion. And if anyone is not yet gripped by these desires, God will reveal it to them. And let us all advance together to reach this victory prize, following one path with one passion. In the NIV version, he uses the phrase, press on. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. The opposite to pressing on is giving up. And whilst many of us feel like doing that at times, we know deep inside we want to press on, but we just need the strength and courage to do it. So I'm going to give you 7 pointers. 7 in the biblical terms is perfect. So obviously I've got the perfect family. So P for pressing on. So we're going to press on. P is for pause. Now, you know me, I can't resist a pun or two. So we have these little characters called tired, exhausted, and drained, all sitting on their seat. Do you know what? There's personally one pause in life that I don't like at the moment, and I'm sure a few women of a certain age will also agree. It's the menopause. Now, that is another journey that some of us are following. I will lay that to rest for now. Now, we all need to stop and rest for a while, don't we? And in Matthew 11, verse 28, it says, "Are you weary, carrying a heavy burden? Then come to me. I will refresh your life, for I am your oasis. Simply join your life with mine, learn my ways, and you'll discover that I'm gentle, humble, easy to please. You will find refreshment and rest in me, for all that I require of you will be pleasant and easy to bear." Do you know, so often we make hasty decisions when we're tired and not thinking straight. You know, do we keep our Sabbath rest, or do we set aside a day in the week to stop and do something completely different? Do we take breaks when we need to? I speak to myself here. Is our body indicating that perhaps a bit of respite is needed, like Trevor's shoulder? If we are asked to do something, do we give ourselves time to consider all options before saying yes? And do we have a peace about it? Is there something you know that you should lay down or pick up? We're not alone, though, in feeling weary. In the Old Testament, in 1 Kings chapter 19, is a very tired, worn-out prophet. His name is Elijah, and he's having a woe-is-me pity party. He's exhausted, and he tells God, "I've had enough, Lord. Take my life." And falls asleep. In verse 5 it says, "Suddenly an angel came to him and touched him. 'Get up and eat,' the angel said. Elijah saw near his head a loaf baked with coals, baked over coals, and a jar of water, so he ate and drank, and then he went back to sleep. Later the Lord's angel came to him a second time. The angel touched him and said, 'Get up and eat. If you don't, the journey will be too hard for you.' So Elijah got up and ate and drank. The food made him strong enough to walk for 40 days and nights to Mount Sinai, the mountain of God." Do you know the best thing that we can do is rest, sleep, eat when we're weary? I know if I'm struggling to write some academic writing, a work feature, or solve a creative problem, and I'm tired, the best thing to do is to put it down and pick it up again after a good night's sleep. You know, and there's also times when God provides through our earth angels, our human friends as well. And we need to take that. We're not very good at often actually admitting that we need a bit of support. So moving on then. R for recognize. Recognize where you're at. Where are you in your journey? Where are you going? Are you where you should be or need to be right now? I share a lot with my great creative partner in crime and friend, Kim Newbold. We're at times a little wacky. We are childlike. And hopefully give you some encouraging prophetic words. But we also are pretty rubbish at following directions. Sorry, Kim. The sat-nav has replaced the map of yesteryear, but it doesn't take into consideration those who aren't so good with their left and rights. When I went to this workshop in Hereford last week, my sat-nav was a little slow. So I approached the junction before it actually told me where to go. So inevitably, I found myself going on the wrong direction along the M5. I was meant to be going that way, and I was going that way. It's a horrible feeling when you know you're not on the right road, especially when you're picking up someone you've never met before. But in order to get on the right road, you need to acknowledge you're on the wrong one. And I can't tell you the relief it was when I knew I was back on the right road I should be on. But it's also about admitting and being honest about where we're at. You know, Elijah may have moaned at God, but he was being real. And am I wearing the right shoes? Are they worn out? Have I grown out of them? Are they suitable for the next part of the journey I'm on? We need to consider all these things, but it needs to be about recognising where we're at. So let's move on to E, to encourage. We all need encouragement, don't we? Encourage yourself in the Lord. When David was up against it and his own family was at threat, we hear how he encouraged himself in the Lord. He reminded himself who God was, what his word said, and spoke promises to himself. In 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, it says, David was now in great danger because all his men were very bitter about losing their sons and daughters, and they began to talk of stoning him. But David found strength in the Lord his God. What scriptures can you stand on right now? It's at this point we need to take our eyes of what we see to the one who sees it all. One of my favourite scriptures is Psalm 121. I will lift my eyes to the hills. From where shall my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. There was a time when I had 5 children under the age of 7, and just getting out the house was a battle. I would often stand on this promise that he would provide what I needed at the right time. He has and is faithful. And sometimes the best thing that we can do when we ourselves are feeling down is to encourage somebody else. Because you end up encouraging yourself. You lift yourself away from your situation. You know, a card, a smile, an act of kindness, a phone call, a text. It's so important. And if someone's name pops into your mind, don't ignore it. Give them a ring. Just check up on them. S, for sort out the clutter. Forgive the pun. But we can be really fed up, can't we? Do you know what? We have so much around us, don't we? We surround ourselves with stuff that we don't need. As a long distance runner, I travel light. I cannot have a big backpack on my shoulders and run. But I do pick up things I don't want along the way, on the bottom of my trainers. Twigs, stones, mud, and dog dirt. And similarly, in our lives, we pick up stuff from other people. We believe lies. We pick up negative comments. We get disappointed. We get let down by others. We get ill. We pick up stuff that feels heavy on our shoulders. We feel others' pain. We are sometimes dumped on by our children's emotional stuff, which we do take as parents. It can and does weigh us down. As well as sorting out clothes and books and furniture that can clutter our physical space, we need to also look at what is cluttering our spiritual space. Maybe we need to lay some things down that we don't need to do anymore. And I'm not sure I'm the only one that can say that actually when we do clear out something, whether it's the lounge, the shoe cupboard, garden, whatever, it does make you feel better, doesn't it? In Hebrews 12, verse 1, it says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So we've done the P, we've done the R, we've done the E, the S, and here's another S for you. Look out for the surprises. You know, we are on a journey. We're not where we were, and we're not yet where we're going. But there's some surprises along the way, and if we're not alert to them, we miss them. And I just think they're little bits of treasure that we can hold on to, those little winks from God to say, yeah, you're on the right track. I'm part of a national prayer team, and most of my friends are based in Merseyside. And as a surprise, they put money in our bank account last week to recognise our silver wedding anniversary. That really blessed us. And marriage, again, is a journey as well, isn't it? And we need to acknowledge these landmarks. So maybe S should also be about stake in the ground. We need to acknowledge where we are and where we're going. As I run, I'm rewarded with sights in nature that I would have missed if I wasn't alert, you know, running alongside a flying kingfisher or being stopped in my tracks by a heron, just watching the electric blue of the damselflies. They're just amazing wow moments, and we all need them to lift us up. You know, going out for a walk in nature is so uplifting. And we need to hold on to those little special moments. Now, I was at a funeral on Monday. I wanted to support my friend who'd just lost her dad. He'd been a vicar, actually, at St. Sire's Church in Stonehouse as part of his 40 years of ministry. And while I was inside, I found myself praying for my own lovely dad. It was his church where he would have gone with his mum as a boy, and lots of his relatives are buried in the churchyard. When I walked outside, to my surprise, he was there. He had been clearing some of the graves, particularly one little grave that was his two-year-old cousin. And you couldn't see it because it had been overgrown. And what he'd done, he was trying to uncover it so that I could see it next time I came. He was on his way to the garden centre, and he saw in his mirror a runner. He thought it was me, and he thought I was heading to St. Sire's Church. So he turned the car around and he went to the church because he thought I might be there. I came out of the church, not in lycra, but in a black suit. So he was on my mind, I was on his mind. And it was just one of those special moments that just uplifted me personally at that time in what was a sad occasion. We've got to hold on to those little precious things that are unique to us, you know, and I just think that is what keeps us going, isn't it? So, perhaps the most important thing, oxygen. We need to remember to breathe. As a Christian, we need the Holy Spirit to blow on us afresh. We need to believe that the same power that rose Jesus from the dead lives in us. And then we need to believe that we're not doing this alone. When the Lord gives us a vision, he also gives us the provision. We are in partnership with the Holy Spirit. In a few weeks' time, I'm attempting to run 53K, which is 34 miles, in aid of Motor Neuron Disease Association. I know I'm going to get tired, and I know that I will probably hit a wall, which is what we use in running language. We all hit a wall at times, and we get to the point we can't continue. And the only way to keep going is to literally put one foot in front of the other. And I no doubt will be praying, Lord, would you fill me with your spirit to get to the end so I can get my second wind. We all need to get our second wind at times, don't we? So my last point then, the N. We need new commitment. We need new vision, new vigour, new dedication. When we're ready and willing, then we can press on with confidence and determination, setting our faces towards Jesus and committing to finish the race that we were called to. I think a lot of us stay where we are because we're expecting God to jump in and change things for us. And yes, he does that. But in my experience, it requires some action or decision on my part. I'm not a robot, and nor are you. There's partnership involved. Jesus enabled Peter to walk on the water, but Peter had to step out of the boat first. "Draw near to me, and I will draw near to you," he promises. I read this the other day, and I wrote it down in my prayer journal, and maybe it will help someone today. It said this: where you are at is a moment in your story, a snapshot, significant, of course, vital even, but it is not the whole story. Wherever we are on the trajectory of the journey of our lives, high at the top or deep in a pit, somewhere near the bottom, it is but a moment in the whole. And the whole is lived with Jesus, who journeys with us. We were never asked to do this journey alone. And I believe we are being cheered on by a crowd of unseen witnesses, ones we cannot see, and ones who are with us on earth. You may be one prayer away from your breakthrough. Don't give up. We need to hear your testimony, and this is the test bit. We create pathways for others to follow. And when we determine to follow the Lord's way for our lives, we're not only fulfilling his plan for us, but we are also influencing those around us. It is powerful when we step in confidence into the future with the Lord with us, before us. It's scary, but it's the best adventure we can go on. So whether it's for you're caring for someone, struggling with illness, or paying the bills, fighting depression, sickness, whatever, can I encourage you to pray for the ability or grace to persevere? As I said, we are in this together. Our journeys may be different, but our destination is the same. So finally, I'm going to end with a personal prayer that I wrote in my journal the other day. If you want to, make it yours too. Lord, I choose to fix my eyes on you, not the ground, not the obstacles, not the I can'ts, not that I don't want to's, not that I'm not good enough, not the poor me, not that I don't have what it takes, not that I am too tired, not the wishing it was better, not the wanting to be someone else or somewhere else. No, I choose to press on. I choose to persevere. I choose to set my face like flint, to run the race I've been called to. I want to finish well. I want to do my Father's will just like you did, Jesus. I thank you I'm not alone. I can do this with your help. I will not give up. I will keep going because I have decided that quitting is not an option. Amen. I'm going to ask the band to play a modern version of Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And while they do, can I encourage you? You've got a little boot that you were given as you came in. I'm not saying, right, everybody, you can all now be marathon runners. That's not what I'm saying. This is about making your statement. So while they play the song, can I encourage you to take your little shoe and put it down, maybe facing the altar, as a declaration that you too are going to finish your race. And yes, I will press on. And maybe just say, Lord, would you give me the grace to persevere? So take your shoe, and whatever your journey is you're on, whatever stage in that journey, just take that next step. God bless you.